Devin McTavish said he was there at the game. Not super exciting,
It
but
wasn't. No, it was. It like I said, it was not really a step forward that we were kind of hoping for. We were really hoping
right.
to break that 2009 skid of getting 2 wins in a row. And you know, defensively, I thought the team was great. I think Seattle came out with the right mindset. They're missing some starters, and they
Yeah.
got behind the ball. And when they got possession, they kept it and didn't really get too dangerous. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was a solid performance. A solid
Yeah.
performance, but
Yeah, it's a
certainly not what we wanted as a game against a big team at RFK. But you know,
right, and it didn't continue our momentum from the previous week, which is what we were all hoping for. Pluses, we shut down Freddie Montero and kept Osvaldo at a kind of a minimum. And like you said, the back line did great.
they did. They get, and it's good to see. I mean, you know, I never doubted Deion, but it's good to see the depth that we have at center back. That with BMAC being out for suspension, and Deion stepped right in there and coming off injury, didn't miss a beat. I mean, I thought he was fantastic on the night.
Me too. And we've been talking about BMAC being a dynamic player. Same is true of Deion. He just walked right in, and obviously these guys all have chemistry back there. I think of any of the units on DC United, they're arguably the most functional unit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So,
there's like a, it seems to be like a 5-man rotation back there right now. So,
yeah. Any of which combination seems to work, really, you know?
and that's good. That's not always the easy part, is getting the defense organized. So, in terms of something to build on, that's certainly a positive.
Absolutely, and you're right. And it's been a place where traditionally DC United's had some difficulty. So it's good to have an organized back line. How about our man that we let's continue the dialogue about Nick DeLeon.
I think he looks sharp. I like seeing him out there. I like everything that that guy brings, to the game. And I think that DC United is very lucky to have drafted him and to get so much quality play out of him already. I mean, I saw that they were already on Twitter. MLS was saying, it's early, but who would you have as the leader for the Rookie of the Year? That's crazy. We're
Wow.
not even done with April and they're talking about it,
Yeah,
But you
it
have to
is
put him
crazy
in
to
the
be talking about
conversation
it.
because he's just a maniac right now.
He's on fire, right?
Yeah.
I loves playing in front of RFK too, man. The energy that
Yeah,
he
he does. He
brings,
does. He
the
seems to
energy
feed
he brings.
off of that, which is so great to see. And it is crazy to be talking about the Rookie of the Year, but you can definitely say he's the sharpest rookie in the league right now, I think. If not the sharpest, then he's definitely on those, the Power Five, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I mean, you know, it's always good to have a rookie come out flying, and the tough part is keeping that up throughout the season. And you know, that'll be something that Ben will preach to him. And you know, he'll get rest here and there, but for me to have a rookie come flying out of the gates like that is something very, very positive. That is that's a good sign for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's not it's easy to say that, him and Cruz out on the wing, are carrying it up and flying in. But like 23rd minute, that service into Salehi, which unfortunately went off the post, that was just a picture perfect pass. So well timed with the run and just reading the run the entire time. And it just dead on. So if he's got the ability to serve the ball in there, as well as to be taking those shots he's taken, I mean, dangerous player, impact player,
He certainly is, and that's the difficult part. You know, we in the scouting report, we knew he was going to be a guy that he says he likes to score, he says he likes to run at players, but the final third at a professional level, if you can produce there, you're a big time player. And through the first, what, 4 or 5 weeks of the season, I mean, he's done that, and that's not something that comes easily for players. I mean, Andy Nahar is one of the best wingers in the league, and through his first couple of years, he's struggled in the final third with the final pass. And you've seen from DeLeon, he's gotten a couple of assists, he's scored some goals. I mean, it's
And then a couple really close calls where his numbers could be a lot higher.
yeah, absolutely. I mean,
But
he could have had one, maybe two of two goals off of DeLeon's assist. So
yeah, I went
yeah,
out to
yeah.
practice out there on a Tuesday at RFK and I was watching, and I was definitely keeping an eye on Salehi, and I just could tell it's really mental with him right now. Every little shot, even in just a practice or a training session, at the end when they went short, the short field, and they're kind of doing the scrimmage, and he would miss a goal, and he could just was getting on himself, and you could see the frustration building up, And so it's definitely, I could tell just being at practice that it's mentally there. But the other thing I could tell was he wasn't even scoring in the training. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like, whereas
not a positive.
Dero looked on fire. I thought for sure Dwayne was gonna have at least a goal, and I've said that the last 2 weeks, and I'm just waiting for like a breakout performance, because at training he was just on fire. I mean, he was looking sharp, fast. He took a rip on one shot in training that the other players were saying that could have been a head injury, that could have been brain damage. I mean, it
Yeah.
was a volley from a corner or like from the wing, and he put that thing in with so much pace. I'm surprised it didn't tear through the back of the net, and I'm not even exaggerating. Like, he just looked perfect. And then you go to the other end, and Salehe's there, just frustrated with himself. He can't score even in training. And the two of them don't really seem to match too well. I don't really know how the two of them work together, as opposed to everyone else.
Yes, Lee hasn't found his stride yet. I mean, that's obvious, but it's funny you say that. Even in practice, he's not scoring.
Right.
That's not a good sign for us
No.
as a fan. But there's a big adjustment with coming to a new league, and obviously, you said he seems frustrated. I mean, this guy's used to scoring, and the fact that he's not doing it and he's getting paid to do that is, it's on his mind. But I just feel like it's just going to take one sloppy goal just to get him going, I mean, just one tap in, one easy goal, and then he'll start flying. But for whatever reason, he's just hasn't been able to do it yet. And time will tell how long that'll take.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he's going to be a tinderbox once he catches fire, because I really do trust the scouting. I trust, Coach Benny and Chad Ashton, as I've said numerous times, and I really think that they're good judges of talent, as well as good judges of like personal chemistry, and that they know things we don't, and that's sort of where I am with Salehe. But let's talk about somebody else who you've brought up, Chris. Our man Dero having a bit of a drought, as it was, right?
Definitely, he can't score to save his life right now.
He just said D route. I didn't think he. I thought he was fine, and he didn't score. You're right, and obviously the team didn't score. But he's doing some work there in the midfield that we didn't really see from him last year in terms of work. I mean, he did work in the final third scoring goals, but in terms of opposite side of the ball, I think he's doing a lot more work than he did last year. And if we can get other guys involved scoring goals, I mean, it's dangerous when Dero can play both sides of the ball
Yeah,
because.
absolutely. And I did think he did a lot of good work, but I'm still seeing he seems to me like he's not 100% there yet. Like there's some things missing. In the 39th minute, he kind of had this pass to no one. The ball just, I'm not sure if it was a mishit off his foot or if he misread somebody else's run, because I was
Right.
watching on a crappy satellite feed because it wasn't broadcast. He works hard as hell, and I'm a great admirer of him on both a personal level and a professional level. And I see the effort he puts in. I just think that he's not quite in full form yet. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
Yeah. I don't think.
frustrating to look at your MVP of the league on your team and say he's doing a really good job as a controlling midfielder. I don't want to see that from him. I want to see him score goals, And I'm
Yeah.
glad that he's doing that, but he's coming off an MVP year, and even himself was asking people on social media through his website and his poll, can I repeat? Can I do it again? Having a quality year is good, but we're talking about the league MVP. I mean, he's not anywhere near where he was, and I want to see him score goals. I don't want to just see him be a quality midfielder. I don't think he's at David Beckham level yet, where that should just be the height of the expectations. You know what I mean? Making good passes, kind of controlling the midfield. I want to see him still getting in there. I think he can still score. I want to see him on the end of some of those. Some of the goals he scored last year, they're pretty creative. Just off the bounce, just poke it right in. You know what I mean? These kind of goals, and I haven't seen any of that. I know that they dropped him back to the midfield, but I really want to still see him on the attack.
Of course, yeah. I mean, let's remember that last year. I mean, what did he score? One goal through May, one or two goals through May with New York.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Team. And then he just caught on fire come June. And I mean, he's another one of those guys that when he just starts feeling it and getting confidence, I mean, it's a scary thing.
Well, I saw him have confidence at practice. So my prediction is what Eric predicts for Salehe. I think D-Rowe's going to be the tinderbox. I think he's going to be the one that one goal is just going to, you know, open the floodgates.
Right. Right.
Yeah, one hopes so. The bar is higher for him coming off of being an MVP. I have, you know, my standards for Dwayne DeRosario are higher than they are for other players and for, you know, basically league-wide. And that's why I say what I do, is because I expect greatness of this guy, and I know he's capable of it. You know, so Dwayne, if you can hear me, let's go. Come on, man. I'm with you.
Definitely.
All right, so next topic, I'm going to call it out. Mark Birch, who wants to start?
I want to start. I want to start. I have two things to say. One,
go ahead.
Like, why is Devin? You should be the one talking about this. You know him. What?
Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, what's the motivation this guy has? And secondly, how embarrassing to talk trash all week just to come in the 90th minute. I mean, that was probably just the coach even saving your ass. And yeah, you got on the end of a header that almost went in. But I mean, who's Mark Birch? You know?
Okay, now
– I mean, come on, man.
Let me answer, okay? First of all, Birch is a good guy, okay? And he was engaging in some gamesmanship there. You know, I think that the coach let him know that he probably wasn't going to start, maybe not even play. And I think he was just getting in people's heads, because what you do is you kind of bluff your hand that way. You make the other people – the other team confident of what the lineup's going to be, and you can kind of like, you know, play some gamesmanship. First of all, he almost wrote – the amazing chapter, okay? He came super close to sewing everyone's mouth shut in RFK. So I'm just thankful that the game went the way it did, okay?
But is he really that bitter that he didn't get re-signed?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So what's
the motivation? I think it was gamesmanship. I'd mess around with people. I can't say the word in my head, but, right. You know, mess with people.
So then,
you know,
Devin, is he that kind of a guy, team? Devin? Like, does that go with who he is and what you know of him?
I like Bertie a lot. I mean, for one, I don't – the quote that he said, I mean, I didn't see it in an article or anything. It was just posted on Twitter. So for me, it's kind of probably one of those things that may have been said. Here's an example. Stephen Goff, when he goes into the media room, everything's on record.
Right.
Okay? And that's how he gets all of his information. And you know that. You learn that. And so Bertie, in my head, I don't know if this is true, was probably talking – you know, saying some stuff with like tongue in cheek with a smile on his face. And this guy took it and was like, listen to this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start a fire. And he did. And for me, I thought it was, you know, it wasn't necessary. I mean, I know Birch liked his time in DC and I think he was ready for a change. But in terms of bitterness towards DC United and its fans, I don't think he has that at all. But I think he did have a bit of a chip on his shoulder in terms of, hey, I'm a good left back, and I want to prove that to you guys. I think that's where he was coming from.
Yeah, but then he kind of crossed the line by saying, I'm better than the left back you have. He kind of made it – he was definitely – I mean, like you said, if this quote is accurate, you know, he seemed to be pointing at a specific player, not a name. But
Yeah, he did, you know, and I don't fully agree with that. And, again – I'm taking it for what it's worth. It was in quotation marks on Twitter, so nothing against the Twitter world at all. But
no, I hear you.
You know, so, but then, and then the other part was talking about the fans of United and how he was talking about how everything in Seattle is so much better. And obviously, the fans didn't like that. I mean, they welcomed him to the field with a 19,000 people yelling, booing to his coming in on the field.
I think they were saying Birch.
Yeah, that's probably what. But for me, coming in, he gets the ball. I mean, typical Birchie trying to, with this chip on his shoulder, trying to make something happen, pings the ball across the field, follows it, has an open header on net, and only poetic justice kept the ball out of the net. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So for me, it was. You know, I'm never going to root against Birch by any means. I mean, I played with him for a long time, and I think he's a good guy. I'd put him on my team. Not that I wouldn't put Woolard on my team. Woolard's playing fantastic at the moment. But again, poetic justice hitting the post. I mean, I just thought it was perfect.
Yeah, and let me say one thing. Made it exciting, okay?
He did. He
He
did.
really, really did. And, hey, you know what? I'm fine with Birch. I think he's a good guy. I think he's funny. After the match, he said some stuff where I saw that Kyle Sheldon was like, "You tricky dog," you know?
What did he say? I didn't see that.
He was saying, let me see if I can pull up the exact quote. It was that that he was engaging in some gamesmanship.
Oh, yeah.
He knew he wasn't even going to start and arguably not even play the game. So he's like, "I just thought I'd get inside some guys' heads who thought that they knew who the lineup was." You know, you kind of mislead people.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that you see in other sports, especially in the European leagues, where people say stuff to the press to get other people riled up. I mean, that hasn't happened in MLS, and not that it needs to. I mean, you know, I'm indifferent about that, but it sure does add a lot of excitement. I mean, when he came on the field, everyone booed him. I mean, it
made
just
it
created
exciting.
A good atmosphere, you know?
Yeah, he added yet another storyline to it.
He
and,
did.
You know, you're right about something. It kind of was a media story.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I didn't see Mark Birch's face out there saying a bunch of negative stuff or anything like that. What I saw was a bunch of soccer bloggers really getting, you know, whipped into a frenzy, kind of getting a little tornado going about it. I mean, I kept hearing every other voice besides, like, let's say Mark Birch. You know, Mark Birch didn't come out and say, "Oh, DC sucks, RFK sucks, the organization
right.
is bad, the players are crappy." You know, none of that. Your cheerleaders are fat. Nothing like that, you know.
Good old high school trash talk.
So anyway, made it exciting. Made it totally exciting. And
he did.
There were a couple really great moments in there. And again, while we're calling out names, Dayon, 29th minute, that tackle he got a yellow card for.
Oh, not happy. I wouldn't. I did not agree with that. I thought it was a fantastic tackle.
I thought so too, and I watched the replay. He got the ball,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I read the rules. I've read the FIFA book, and the way I read it, again, of course, I'm just a fan of United. You know, he tackled the ball. He didn't sweep the leg. I really felt that was a clean tackle, and it was a hell of a good tackle too, because he was able to avoid the player's foot and get all leather on that. You know, so
let's
I did
be honest, MLS officials aren't exactly. Known for being top notch right now, right? I mean, if they institute a thing at the beginning of the season, a whole group of people to work and look at the officiating, they know themselves that it's just not the best, you know?
Yeah.
It's awful.
I mean, that a call like that goes along with the offsides call from last week. I mean, if random fans who are knowledgeable in soccer can pick it up, you know, hopefully. I don't know, like I know the NBA has these things and NFL and all the other leagues have where they go over the officials and sometimes the officials will come out and say, you know, they're not going to change the call, but yeah, they missed a call. Like I'd like to see that in MLS. I'd like to see somebody man up and say, you know what, you're right. I gave a yellow card. We're not going to turn it back, but it was a missed call. It was a bad call, you know.
Yeah.
We called him offsides and looking back at it now, we're human and he wasn't. And they don't do that, you know, and I'd like to see that.
Well, the NFL does, but now you've got this review board that's going over calls. Like, let's look at the fact that Shaury Joseph's going to be out this week because they decided on a Tuesday that he gets a suspension.
Yeah, what takes
just
so
like
long?
Us last week.
I mean, how about the review board gets cracking after the game? You know,
they have Sundays off.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are they? And then what about Monday? You know,
it was Easter. Come on, we're a Judeo-Christian society. It was Easter.
Yeah, I mean, how many times give yourself 30 minutes to look over the play? You know, make a decision already. You know which ones you're looking at. It's not like they're going to watch the entire game over again. They're going to look at specific calls. I don't understand what's going on and what's the precedent they're trying to set right now. It's a slippery slope to say the least. You know,
you sound angry, Chris.
I am angry because
I
feel like. Well, they're trying to say that they're making the officials better, but then they have this other thing where they're basically second-guessing them. And if you're going to second-guess them where it penalizes the teams and the players, then let's also get some second-guessing and call out the referees themselves, the officials, you know?
Hey, good point. There you go.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll
start
a hashtag for that one, Wimmer.
There you go. That's just my thing. I'm done with being bitter, but.
So I need to reference something that Devin said earlier. Devin, you read Twitter?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought.
He reads articles that talk about.
But there was the so if you're referring to the Birch article, it didn't even say it. It just sent like a link to the Twitter page.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Yeah.
that's about my as far as that's how deep I go into Twitter.
I got you. That's what I thought. Okay.
Not,
Just wanted to
again,
make
there's
sure.
nothing wrong with it. There's no, you know.
Hey, some of my best friends are on Twitter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Hey, right back to this review board.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done about 8 suspensions now.
I know, yeah.
And I mean, and they haven't even been, most of them, I mean, are just simply yellow cards. And then now they're throwing on a game or 2 suspension for tackles that the referee just thought, you know, on the field, it was a yellow card. I mean, for me, I guess they're just really trying to protect players. I mean, these tackles aren't bad. You know, I remember seeing Adam Moffat versus Seattle. He went in on the tackle and he won the ball, but his foot went over the ball, ends up getting a yellow card, ends up getting suspended for a game or 2. I can't remember, 1 or 2.
Okay,
But I
was that the
mean,
call on the field, or that was
yeah, the
the
call on
call
the field
later?
was a yellow card, and
Yeah,
then
right.
you know the review board comes in Tuesday morning and says,
Right, right.
you got a yellow card, but you know what, you actually have to sit out 2 games. Like I completely agree with Wimmer and the fact that I think that's completely ridiculous because.
Yeah, nobody's happy about that. I want to protect players as much as anybody, seriously. But I don't think that this is the mechanism by which we're doing that. I think what we're doing is we're creating a layer of embittered people now who are going to mistrust the officiating even more than is already going on in MLS. I
Right.
agree with you.
And there's also going to be the question, you're going to get a call if as soon as you get a yellow card on the field, it's not going to end at that. You're going to start wondering, like, am I going to find out Tuesday that I'm kicked out? Like, I'm out a game or two, you know? And it
Exactly.
should be the decision should be made on the field, or else they don't have replays to see if goals are in. So why should
Right.
we be replaying these things days later, you know what I mean? And nobody has gotten a red card rescinded down to a yellow or yellow removed.
Right.
So
Right.
is it only going one way? I don't understand. And they haven't really come out and said exactly what their goal is with this. So they leave themselves open to this questioning, you know?
Yeah, well, I completely agree with you on that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, nobody's happy about it. I see it as a flawed policy that really needs serious revision, serious like consideration about what the real goals are and what the, you know, we all know what the short-term goals are, but it needs some real consideration about how to achieve those goals without alienating people and without being unfair, because right now it looks really arbitrary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it
You
definitely
just go
does.
to Shalrie Joseph and say, you call up BMAC on Wednesday and say, Mr. McDonald, upon further review, you're going to have the week off.
Yeah, then how do
Yeah.
you do that as a coach? Now, until you find that out, you're assuming here's BMAC's playing defense, right? So had you known earlier, you could have been practicing with a different lineup and getting someone ready to be the starter.
Right.
So.
And also, there's the important thing that, you know, positive play needs to be enforced, negative play needs to be reinforced, and these need to happen when they happen. I mean, I doubt that BMAC 4 days later is as aware what really occurred. So my point is, I don't think it's going to actually affect future behavior, which is the obvious goal, right? To make players safer.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you what it does if a ref comes out and says, "Hey, that was a hard challenge. Here's your card." You've got somebody's attention, especially if you have to march off. And we all know that that's the hand we're dealt. This shadowy star chamber that comes in ex post facto and makes these arbitrary decisions. Who are these guys? I don't see their press conference. It's not like Tuesday morning, Elliot Spitzer comes out and goes, "Ah, here's the dirty dozen from last week," you know?
Right, and then are you going to have the referees like?
Elliot Spitzer shadow.
Are they going to be doing? Are the refs going to be calling things harsher now so that they don't get second guess later? Like, are they going to call a yellow or red because they don't want it to be overturned later to a red? You know what I mean?
Well, the way that if they do end up doing that, the way that the games are going to end are going to be like 10 players versus 9 players because
Right, but if I'm a referee and I'm concerned that the league doesn't trust me and I'm concerned that they might turn one of my yellow cards into a red card, maybe I call it a little bit harsher than I normally would if I wasn't being second guessed. And
yeah,
that's
well.
not what you want, you know? You want them just to, if you don't trust your referees, get new referees or do better training, but don't go back and second guess them. It's just pointless.
Yeah, completely agree. But
Yeah.
so is
Well,
Joseph out for the next game?
So he is. Yeah, he's out. So,
so that's
yeah, let's
huge.
Look at this New England squad.
That's huge, right?
Yeah,
that guy's been their anchor for years.
Yeah, absolutely. But they've got some other weapons on the field.
They do. They have a good young team. I mean, they kind of remind me of United in the fact that, you know, a young, energetic coach trying to kind of change the way the franchise is going and put it on a positive slope. And, I mean, they've made a lot of changes.
Yeah, they've got some youth, and now they got this brand new guy. I think it's only like 2 days old, a Swedish guy, right?
Yeah, Bjorn.
Bjorn
Rundstrom.
Yeah.
I think his name. I honestly do not know anything about him. But,
me neither. I've got little or no scouting on him. I watched the highlights from their game last week, and they've got some weapons up front, especially, like you said, it looks like they've got some youth.
They do.
Some
they
dangerous
do, yeah.
Youth.
Yeah, I mean, they're an energetic team, you know, and they went out to L.A. and they jumped on L.A. right away, and they were up, two or three nothing in the first couple of minutes, and
mm-hmm.
or in the first, like, 25, 30 minutes, and, you know, didn't get the result in Dallas. I think they should have. It was 0-0 in the 94th in Dallas.
Yeah, Portland. Heartbreaker at the buzzer, man.
Yeah, yeah, but we need those Eastern Conference teams to lose, but.
Yeah.
They got a player that you're familiar with in Brett Schneider, right, Devin?
Yeah, I mean, Clyde Sims sitting in the middle, and then Brett Schneider has been, you know, he's gotten some time with them. So
yeah.
I know Clyde will be excited to play.
Clyde!
Yeah.
Clyde Sims, man.
Sims,
I just like that guy. He was
yeah, I don't think he'll be saying anything to the press like Burchie did.
No, I think he's a quality guy, man. He enjoyed his time in D.C., and he was a big part of the community even away from the games, you know.
He was, yeah. I mean, he's been missed. He's been missed. But, you know, he's been doing well back there. Or, I guess not back there. And then the defensive mid spot for New England. I mean, he was on the best 11 last week.
Cool.
MLS
he's
best.
A solid league. Guy. He's had a couple shots on goal, right?
Yeah, he likes to get up every now and then.
I mean, you know, in addition to his regular duties, it looks like I'm looking at his stats right now. Three shots so far this season.
Yeah. I mean, I know against the LA game, he completed like 44 out of 46 passes, which
I saw that stat. It's amazing.
I mean, as a defensive midfielder trying to spray the ball, you know, forward, sideways is a pretty incredible stat. So
it talks about how solid he is, you know.
He is. He's a good player. He's very underrated, but I don't know, man. The Revolution is actually 5-0-1 since 2009 against DC United.
Well, it's going to end this time. They're not going to have Joseph. Okay. D-Rose is going to score, and United's going to win. That's my prediction. I feel it.
All right. Show's over. There we go.
Yeah, man. I think Charlie Joseph is a huge part of that team, and not having him is going to disrupt them enough. And I think getting McDonald back and United, I mean, they got a point. They didn't get a win, but they got a point, and they played solid against Seattle. So I think they're going to come back out, and it's nice to have a little homestand, you know, build on that support.
We only got, yeah. And, you know, the New England's not the toughest place to play. I know we haven't had success there in the past couple of years, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it's not an atmosphere like Seattle. It's not an atmosphere like
right,
Portland.
Right, right, yeah.
You can certainly get points there, so it'll be. I mean, their back line is fairly young. I mean, Soares is second year. I think McCarthy is like second or third year. They're two center backs, and so I think some of our veteran players, a la Deiro, and hopefully
yeah.
Mike Consantos can you know
yeah
put the team on their backs.
And Mr. Salehi, I'm ready for you, Hamdi. I've been holding a spot for you, so.
I can't
open your account. Open the MLS account.
I can't wait to see his celebration once he scores.
Yeah,
yes.
Does he even celebrate?
I mean,
maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's one of those guys, you know.
He might not, but in terms of just getting the monkey off his back, if you will.
Right.
You know what? I think the guys from B93 Belgrade will be you know waving that double eagle flag. It'll be awesome.
They'll sneak into the New England press box and they won't know what hit them there.
We can only hope. Yeah. Let's. You know, they have a couple other guys. I was watching their Jose Moreno. I think he's fairly new to the team as well, right?
He is, yeah. He debuted against Dallas.
Right.
Again, Colombian, know nothing about him, but supposed to score goals for him. So
he had some good touches on the ball. On the highlight reel, he had a serious header that just barely got stopped out, you know. You could see that he just has, yeah, a lot of skill on the ball.
Yeah.
From the highlight reel, you don't see much more, but I marked him down as a threat.
Put an asterisk next to his name.
Yes, absolutely.
All
Him
right.
and there was somebody else. I'm not looking at their
Sine.
roster right now.
Yeah, the guy, the
Sine.
battling hairdo with the Demolition Man. They look
Oh,
like.
in the
Demolition dude, yeah, he's rocking the true demolition.
Yeah, he's got the
Yeah.
bleach mohawk also, right? So we're gonna have to see two of
Yeah.
those out there battling each other on the field.
Yeah,
Power
yeah.
play.
No, he's a good player too. I mean, he scored and he's got a couple goals for the team, and he's a big man up top, scores with his head. I mean, pretty good with his feet, so he'll be a handful.
Doesn't have that energy though, like, we're playing New England Revolution. Okay, cool.
I know, it's
You
just
know?
it's such an old rivalry, it's just kind of like
The
bleh,
last two
New England.
games have been good, right? Coming home, there was the excitement of you gotta beat Dallas. You gotta come home. This loss and this horrible start has to stop, and it did. And then you got Burch talking and Casey Keller talking, so there was all this excitement. Like, there's not really any excitement for New England Revolution, you know? They don't have any of these players that you just wanna pounce on. They got a couple ex-DC United players, but like Devin said, those guys aren't gonna talk. They're just quality stand-up guys, you know? So hopefully they can still get up for this game, you know?
I think Benny will get him up. I think Benny is probably a little upset they didn't get a result
Yeah.
at home against Seattle, and he's gonna again kind of test the character of this team and say, "How good are you guys? Prove it to me." So,
Yeah, I doubt that they'll be sort of sleepwalking through any of these early games, until we start to get a lot of serious wins under our belt. Will anybody get complacent? I do look for them to show up and show up hard. And I think, Devin, that you've got a good glimpse into the mindset that they're going to say, "Hey, look, this is a winnable game."
right.
And it's an East Coast team. We've got to be pushing up against all these Eastern Conference teams. So
Right.
here's a win we need. You didn't get it last week. We double need it this week.
Right, exactly. I mean, especially, you're right, exactly. Eastern Conference is huge now with the playoff system just coming from, four teams from each table. So
Yeah. So what do you think, guys? What do you
it's double
predict?
points. It's a 6 point swing here. We need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could totally be a 6 point swing, and it is what we need. We need three out of this game. Hey, what about goalie controversy?
Well, I'll
I hate
tell
to
you
use the
that at
word
practice,
controversy, goalie situation. Go ahead.
Hamid looked good, man. He was bouncing around. His ankle did not look like it was bothering him at all. But I think you just continue to ride the hot hand, and Willis is playing good, and that's it, you know. Although I like Hamid and he spent time with the national team, he got a lot of hours and a lot of games in over the last few months. So
Yeah.
why not just keep Willis in? He's playing great. There's no need to switch him until you have to. You kind of do the hockey thing and you just go with the hot hand and goalie, you know.
I
I
agree. I don't see any reason to change it. I mean, they've gotten points with Willis. Not that they,
Yeah.
I mean,
Willis has
and
done so well. He's done
he
so well,
has.
you know.
He's done really well. And same with kind of Andy. Is Andy going to come in and take Cruz's spot on the right? I mean,
Oh, I don't think so.
I find it difficult to keep Andy off the field personally, but Cruz has
Yeah.
been doing great. So, I mean, Benny's got a couple hard decisions that,
Yeah, he really does. It's tough. And it's weird because I'm going to call this. I think they're going to start Hamid. I think it's like, your quarterback has come back again, and, your fill-in quarterback just scoots aside. It's just a gut feeling. I've got no rationale behind it, but I just sort of I've been reading the tea leaves, and that's how it seems to me. With Andy, I think it goes the other direction. I think Danny Cruz has fought hard to be over there on the wing, and I think you play Cruz for 62 minutes, then bring Nahar in, who lights a fire, shoots sparks, and proves why he's Andy Nahar, why he was former Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think Willis probably should stay in. Is that bad to say? But I don't know if he will. I mean, why take a guy out when he's hot? But
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I can't see them putting Hamid in. I mean, he was the number one guy and he went away for national team duty. You can't really punish him for that, can you?
No.
Again, we don't know how strong his ankle is and everything, blah blah blah. But if he's healthy, I mean, you're probably gonna give it back to number one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Even though if they asked me, I'd say stay with Willis, but I don't think they're going to be calling me.
Well, if they do call you, you better
Good
let
to
us
know.
know so we can
It's all
put it on
right, yeah.
Twitter since
I'll
you won't
keep
be
you
able
guys
to.
posted. I agree with that too. Bringing Andy in like in the 60th minute, I mean, that kid's good off the bench. He's got energy. He's
Yeah.
fast. He's a good guy to run at a tired left back. You know what I mean?
Sure. Man, love having him come in on fresh legs.
Exactly. So,
Yeah, I'm just glad we've got that kind of depth in the roster that we have a choice like that, you know.
yeah, it's a nice change.
And big shout out to the hardworking kids, Cruz and De Leon again, man. They made the game exciting to watch. Now, I noticed that a big part of the strategy, it seemed like, for the Sounders was to try and, you know, contain those guys, you know, those outside backs playing real high, trying to stomp down the wingers. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they did a good job with that. I mean, defensively, they had a game plan, and they followed it to a T. You saw that with our wingers. You saw Alonzo pretty much shadowing Dero all night. I mean, Dero couldn't get a half a touch
Get a
without
step
Alonzo
out of him,
right
yeah.
up his face. And so, you know, Seattle is a very organized team, and you know, very well coached, and they were very prepared for that game. So it'll be interesting to see how Jay Heaps organizes the revolution for this game.
Yeah, let's talk about Heaps for a second. Now, he's an interesting character too. You know, he's the second youngest coach in the MLS after our own Ben Olsen, right?
I agree with that, yeah.
And a former player as well. And there aren't that many former players who are coaches. And so I think there's a bit of a symbiosis there. I sort of see him, in my eyes, he's kind of like our own coach.
Yeah, they have a lot of the same traits and personalities, you know. It's a funny story. I was actually out. Did I tell you this? I don't know if the listeners have heard this. I was out getting my B license this past December,
Oh, cool.
U.S. Soccer Federation B license, and no other than Jay Heaps was there getting along. And I was just like, I'm getting my B license. Jay, what are you? You're the head coach of the Revolution.
Was he getting his B license too?
We're in the same class here, Jay? Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you tell him
Yeah.
you were angling for his job if he doesn't do well?
What was that?
I said, did you tell him you're angling for his job if he's not going to do well?
No, it was before I retired, so I was trying to convince him to pick me up in the re-entry draft.
Yeah.
And once that didn't happen, I was trying to convince him if he needed a cone picker-upper, and that didn't happen either. So,
All right.
Well, I gotta go
Cool.
soon, guys. Do you want to talk about what we're gonna do on the 17th after our next game?
Yeah,
Oh,
fill us in, Eric.
we got our next video podcast. We're gonna be over at Dogfish Head Brew Pub in Fairfax, Virginia. I guess it's there at the Greenbrier Shopping Center. It's right next to Soccer Post DC. And they're giving us our own little room, and we're gonna have another video podcast. And I think this time Devin's mom's gonna call in.
All right.
Yeah. She'd been dying to do that. So,
Cool.
Well,
we'll
I don't
make
really
that happen.
believe you, but we'll see.
That's always a nice thing.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to
Yeah, this should be fun. Big shout outs to all the supporters groups. You know, you guys. You made RFK as loud as I've heard it on TV yet. So keep up the great work. I love seeing the TIFO. I'm hoping that somebody in the management will decide to put you guys' old TIFO banners up there in the top shelf. That's what I've decided needs to happen with the upper bowl.
Yeah, if they're not going to get any advertisement, they better put something up there.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They could put some big FU or FU, as I like to call it,
Yeah,
just
fans
cover
united.
all the seats. I mean, I'll talk to some people. We'll
We'll
make it
be on the
happen.
lookout for more of those stickers as they get out and about. I'm sure we'll see them on cars all over the place, right?
Oh yeah, and I can't believe Bridgestone doesn't want to put just a gigantic inflatable tire up there.
I don't know.
Hey, marketing ideas. That one's for free. Front office.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks to the three people who we know do listen to the podcast, and Chris, I hope you're feeling better, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
Devin.
get better, buddy.
Less bitter next time, I promise.
Less bitter. No, I thought you were great, man. I thought you were great. A special thanks to Women United Football Club. It seems like you guys are doing a great job. Pro tip, the Kansas City park is already open.
Any shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to Devin McTavish. Devin, thank you for your continued patience and participating in the Fans United podcast. I just know one day you're going to text me and say, "Sorry, dude, I'm out."
Well, I don't know if I have your phone number, so
I'm safe.
Nice.
That's right. You've been blocking my calls. I forgot that part. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for me.
Good. All right.